Blog Talk Radio. They say, Tan Rajin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Ashadu ilah ilah illallah, Ashadu ilah ene Muhammad Rasulullah. We only bear witness and we testify there is no God but one God whose proper name is Allah, meaning he is the creator of this creation that we live on. He created this creation to test us and see which one is worthy of a great prize after this life, end in this life. This is not the real life. This is a temporary life here. This is the life that see if you are worthy to have everlasting life, a temporary life. So we here on this Prophet Talk radio station calling people back to the oneness of God. And we're calling them back with Al-Quran. First thing we like to do is open up our talk with a prayer. And this prayer is called Al-Fatah. It means you're open. So we like to open this prayer. This prayer is made every time we make salah. This prayer is made. This prayer is made by every Muslim every time they make salah. It's the beginning of the prayer. It's the beginning of the salah. So we are making this prayer And this prayer is a respect for the one who gave us the, who gave us the prayer? Almighty God, Allah. He gave us the prayer. So we like to make this prayer and we want to do follow what Allah has led us to follow through our book in our life. And our fatiha is one of the prayer that we said. So we said this prayer many, many times, every time we make our salat. With our first salat, we make this prayer twice. Second salat, four times. Third salat, four times. Fourth salat, three times. And the fifth salat, we make it four times. So we make this prayer with all the Muslims. We all who sincere in our religion, we all make this salat. We all make the salat we call al-fatiha. It means to open. And we like to open our talk with a prayer. Listen, we just don't say we love the Creator. We prove it by making our salat, our prayers to the Creator and not no creation. We do not pray to any creation. We only pray to the Creator. So we like to say a prayer to the Creator, and al-fatiha, it means to open. And we want to open up whatever good we gonna do with a prayer. If we do that, at least we have a good start of making everything else right. We have a good start. So first we like to say it in the Arabic language, the beautiful language that most of the prophets and messengers spoke. Allah did this. We have no sense of it. And whatever Allah does, it is correct and right. So we like to open this prayer up with al-fatiha means to open. So first we will say it in the Arabic language, and then we will say it in the English translation. Humayyah Shaitan Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbi Lailameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmi Ddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim. Walad-dhalin. We seek protection with the Creator of this creation against and for against Satan, our open enemy, a human being, open enemy. With the name of God, Allah, most gracious, Allah is most merciful. Allah is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid we seek. We are asking Allah to show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favors on, and none of those who wrath is brought down on none of those who go astray. Amen. We'd like to thank you for joining us here on the Block Talk Radio Station. We're here tonight to work on a major problem to human beings all over this planet Earth. And who is the root of this problem that we are about to bring up, speak about? We said no other than Satan himself. a man and a woman who done took on weak ideas, wrong thinking, and tell lies. This is Satan's description of Satan. And no man hiding or no woman hiding under the earth with a red pitchfork in a fire to jump up to get you when you pass by. Satan is one who gets you through your mind and your heart. He appeals to your heart and your mind. His job is to make evil seem fair and make wrong seem right and right seem wrong. He is the master of death. And scripture come to point him out, and then scripture come to tell you to stay away from Satan, means stay away from his ideas, his concept, his scheme. Stay away from the gambling and alcohol and all the vices that he bring into the life to bring the human being down. Stay away from them things. But Satan make these things seem fair. Make them seem that if you ain't getting these things, you won't be happy. He's a trickster. He got people call themselves and putting masks over their face and going up to people and trying to scare them, to scare the life out of the people. This is the duty of Satan. He called it Halloween. He called it Halloween. This was called Halloween, putting the mask on, asking for candy. And then he said, this is trick or treat. And the trick in the treat is on the person who participate in it. A lot of them do not worship anything but him. And when you are in when you are buying costumes and dressing yourself up, you are working in the cause of Satan. And he know it. Because the evil you're going to do, are you going to promote, are you going to suggest evil? It's evil to say that all the cats in the world ain't but one bad, and that's the black cat, the black spy, the black widow. All these things are saying black, but really talking about a people. And what people they are talking about? They're talking about a people they have walked on. They're talking about a people they put in jail throughout this country. They have all the jails filled up, talking about the African-American people who accept the idea that they're black. So it's the problem is psychological problem. Not going to go away until this problem is put out in the open and we deal with it and eradicate it, get rid of it. If we fail to do that, that's another extension of how long it's going to take. Another extension of the problem that we always have, always got. We're looking at why we behind everybody in production and owning things. We behind everybody in this world. Why that? Because we've been given a God that don't look like us. We've been given a man named Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we look at, and we really have been looking at the picture of what they have given up about Christ Jesus. The first thing we would have said, well, you look just like the people that used to own us, used to claim ownership of us. Next thing we would be saying, that he didn't die for our sin. We don't need nobody to die for nobody's sin. What the Caucasian people did to us was sin. And you're going to tell me a good man named Jesus died for the way they did us and ain't nothing going to happen to them? No, no, we don't. And the Quran comes to clear up that matter. Whatever you do in this world, it determines what Allah, the Creator,
of this world gonna put you. You, that is what you earn. Whatever you do in this world, you earn another life in the next world.
So, don't that make sense? How can a man die for your sin and they show you he getting killed? He being murdered. If I nail anybody anywhere on a cross, on some wood, and I stand that people up, that person up that I didn't nail to the wood, what an awful thing I'd have done anyway. That's the most ugly picture I can give you of nailing a man's hand to some wood and on a piece of wood that had been crossed, two pieces of wood that had been crossed. And then I stand that up. That man died, but I don't come back and say I killed him. I come back and say he died for all our sins. Let's wake up. The trickster time is up. They have tricked the whole world, Satan, and the people that benefit from that lie, they got skyscrapers. The people that benefit from that lie, they own everything. They benefit from those lies. And the people who not benefit from those lies, they fill in the jailhouses up. They getting shot down. They are leaving the family life. They leaving any good life that God wants them to have. And plus they're taking God out of their life. Any man or any woman who would tattoo their body, put eyelashes on them, pay lots of money, that's the spit, put eyelashes on their eyelash, earring all throughout their body, and do some of the filthy dance in that you can imagine, and say some of the filthy things that you don't should never hear, never should come out of a mouth of a human being. This is what that lie has produced. Are awful people, are dreadful people, are disrespectful people, are people who are now in the history of this country, especially America, is truly said they're not going much, not going anywhere. These people have raised the rent $500 to $1,500 and more, and keep raising it, according to what your location is. And they're doing it to wipe out most African Americans because they can't afford to pay that kind of money for apartments. We can't afford it. And they know it. The food is overcharged. The food is a task to buy food. And you got some people out there scraping to buy food, and they also buying cigarettes, BC powder, and other things they don't need. Huh? Cigarette lighter. Cigarettes cost $5, $7, $8 a pack. The cigarette lighter cost you. All this unnecessary money is spent on junk because our people have been trained to want to be seen in the eyes of men and women. Our people have been trained, have been put into a jig. And Allah has given up a mission to help the people wake up. And now we are set down. The Nation of Islam, I wouldn't trade what I learned from the Nation of Islam for nothing. And Imam never told us to be the Muslim under the honor of Elijah Muhammad would go to each other's house, would work with each other, would plan to do things, go with each other. They stuck together. They was happy. Everybody admired the way they treated their wives and their children. They was the most respected people of the day. Now, the people that now coming now
should be more respectful, more decent, because they got more scripture to understand and more knowledge to understand. But just like the scripture said, we didn't different to knowledge come. And now knowledge come, we want to sit down. We want to wait for somebody else to do what all of us need to be doing. We want to sit down and wait on others to stand up for me. And all of us should be standing up together and to change this ugly world that we come up in. And it really is a good world, but it's ugly when you look at it, when you know you get shot down. You know when you walk the street or you drive up and down the street, you don't want the people who supposed to be protecting you and serving you pull you over, because they pull you over, they might take your life. They might plant something on you. They might plant drugs or they might tell lies. And then the courts have given you the right to record the police, but the police do not honor that. And they record, two police record too. And they cut off their camera, cut off their record, because what they're about to do to you, they don't want nobody to hear, and they don't want you to set up and tell the truth about what they have done. They don't want no evidence. So this is the danger you put yourself in every time you get in a car and you drive somewhere, and there's an ungodly, unhuman person who say he took oath to protect and serve, and the only thing he want to do is protect and serve people. At some time, he do his own people wrong. He don't care. And these are the kind of people we put on us, over us. And then when we complain about those kind of people, those people that look like us in authority, they go on the defense for those ungodly, unreasonable police people that we put in office that look like us. It look like most of them turn on you. They would turn on you. They would not speak up for you. So we waste all them years marching and trying to put people in office and get them and put in positions so we have a voice in the government. And now it looks like a whole lot of people in the government that look like us don't give a penny about none of us. They are standing up with the criminals, with the Caucasian criminals. So we have to change it. We have to root them people out too. If a person ain't going to treat you right, he sure ain't going to help you and teach you right. We have to get those people out of office, and they're going to take all of us to do it, because what they're working on is getting rid of the poor man, getting rid of bringing people here from all over the country, from different countries, and give them those nice and beautiful homes. Give them good jobs. We've been here all these years, and now they talking about making robots to take our place at McDonald's and Burger King. So nobody going to love us until we love each other. So we got to stay on the case of what is ours. We have to stand against those who stand against us, who mean us no good, and then we're going to make progress. Yeah, we got to have the Quran, but who is the people that we are talking about, they don't have a Quran, and they're not even interested in the Quran, then we must tell them the truth and pick their conscience and make them aware of this great book that Allah has given us through Prophet Muhammad. May God peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad, who is the seal. We must tell the people about, they don't keep the prophets out of the ears, out of the schools, out of the system, and make sure that Prophet Muhammad's name is not mentioned nowhere in the public school, the colleges, and nowhere. We must change this ourselves. Allah said he will never change our condition until we change within our heart. So I'm gonna bring another speaker up. Anybody got anything they'd like to say? All you got to do is match one and come in the queue, and we will cut your mic on. My name is Brother. I done made the prayer. I done prepared the show. I done made the announcement. So those who coming on late, you missed the announcement, everything, the prayer has been made. But we want to let you know we started with a prayer. And we're going to end with a prayer with the help of our Almighty God Allah. So let me bring Sukkot Muhammad up. He's one of the co-host workers here, and myself and his wife, my wife. We all working to get to rid this world of racism and help build a strong world, strong America, a good America. So I'm going to bring Brother Sujah. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Sujah.
Well, thank you, my salam.
I'm going to do it our way. You got it.
Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. To Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. I also testify and bear witness that there is only one creator. There's only one God. And I also bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessings be upon our Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, he's the seal of the Prophet, the messenger of Allah, he's God's servant. I'd like to give all the believers the greeting of peace of As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. And that's what we are trying to establish in the land. We are trying to establish peace. That's one of the meanings of our religion, Islam. It means peace. There have been so much, we've been catching so much hell. And there's so much hell that has been put on us. Until we just gonna have to, we're gonna have to just get used to peace. The same way we're gonna have to get used to truth, standing up with the truth. So we're gonna have to bear with it, realize and understand that our brothers and sisters they've been through hell and they don't know what peace is. And when you bring them peace, they think it's a trick. Because they never known peace. They never could trust nobody. And Satan comes in so many different ways until they don't know right from wrong. But El-Islam means peace. And when you reign peace, a person know what peace is. They recognize it. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling when you round a person that practice peace. You know, and you be trying to, you try to understand it and catch on to it. After a while, you're going to be practicing it. You're going to try to apply it. And then in a little while, you're going to be able to create peace. You're not going to revert back to hell. You know, you know how... Because if you live in hell so long, you think the only thing that works is hell. Jim Hale. That's the only thing you know. But Allah bless us with peace. We as Muslims, we say, As-salamu alaykum. And As-salamu alaykum means may the peace of God be with you. Not just my peace. My peace may not be good enough for you. So you offer the peace of the peace of God. And when you offer that and you bring that, the person or the people that you bring it to, their responsibility is to keep the peace. You bring the peace, their responsibility is to keep the peace. When I say, As-salamu alaykum, and you say, the Quran said you can give a greater, bigger welcome, a peace, or you can give the same and equal greeting of peace, the same and equal. In other words, you say, As-salamu alaykum, and I can say, As-salamu alaykum. I can return it with As-salamu alaykum. That's the same and equal peace that you brought me. Or I can say, when you say As-salamu alaykum, I can say, wa alaykum as-salam, rahmatullah. So I'm bringing you the what you brought me. I'm giving you back the same peace and then some more peace. That's just like a miracle. That's just like a miracle with people that been living in hell and never had any peace, so they got to the point where they can't trust nobody. Everybody is a peace breaker. Everybody is bringing them hell. They can't trust nobody. So our job is that we got to keep working with them until they catch on. And they come into the understanding that we are in. They'll come into the understanding that it's a struggle trying to establish peace. Establish peace don't mean that you turn the other cheek, that you believe in turning the other cheek. That's not the way that we as Muslims establish peace. Sometimes when you let a person know that if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. And when they know that, that alone will establish peace, because they don't want to be hit. you know. So in El Islam, say a life for a life, you know. You don't go beyond what a person do to you. And you try to do double of that which he done to you. In order to bring about peace. You bring about more than peace, you bring about fear. And that's one thing we don't want our brothers and sisters to have. It's only somebody that we want them to fear is fear Allah. Fear Allah. We want them to keep their manhood or their womanhood. You know, we want them to keep whatever Allah blessed them, the strength that Allah blessed them with, we want them to keep that. And fear Allah, and fear Allah alone. So we study all these great prophets of God, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus. We study how they handled different situations. And then when we get in and get among peoples that don't believe in God, don't know what peace is, we get among peoples that don't have an understanding, and we practice Islam. We practice peace among them. You don't practice in a way where it make it seem as though you are weak. Being peaceful, you don't have to show no signs of weakness. You can want for your brother what you want for yourself. That's peaceful. Let's have so-and-so establish himself or herself. Let's make sure that they got a nice car. They got a nice house. Let's all come together and help them get a nice car. Let's make sure that the brother got a job and making money where he can take care of his family. This type of wisdom, this type of practice will bring about peace. If we keep practicing what we are doing now, we're going to stay in hell because we believe that anybody is being the best devil or the most cunning or the most slick. He knows more than all of us. In that type of war, you try to make that type of person your leader. But in the war of Allah, we want a person that that got a good heart, that respect older people, that love the children, that's kind to his neighbor. You see? That help the needy and help the poor. Give in charity. That's what Islam teaches us to do. And righteousness. Is righteousness is being slick? Is righteousness is owning the one that's owned everything, or the one that knows everything? Is this righteousness? Or the one that's saying all his prayers? Is that righteousness? Well, Allah teaches us what righteousness is through the book that is put together by Allah. Allah influenced the putting together of the Quran. And in the Quran, Allah tells us what righteousness is. Because when we read the Quran, this is the word of Allah. In Surah 2, Ayat 177, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. First, Allah tell you what righteousness is not. What is not righteousness? It is not righteousness that ye turn your faces towards east or west, but it is a righteousness to believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the book and the messengers. To spend of your substance out of love for him, for your kin, for orphans, for the needy, for the wayfarer, for those who ask, and for the ransom of slaves, to be steadfast in prayer and practice regular charity, to fulfill the contracts which ye have made. Which he had made, and be firm and patient in pain of suffering and adversity. Allah do say right here, which I said earlier, you don't define righteousness by just because you pray. But now Allah says that is one of the signs of righteousness. Be steadfast in prayer. So I stand to be corrected. To be steadfast in prayer. You know, and for the ransom of slaves. Free the slaves. The one, free the one that is controlled by the slave master. And when you go through difficulty, you got to be firm in pain. Firm and patient in pain of suffering and adversity. and throughout all periods of panic. Such are the peoples of truth, the God-fearing. These are the God-fearing. So if you just study that surah, Surah 22, Ayat 177, and try to apply that Ayat in your life. And when you do that, practicing and applying that is what constitutes righteousness. You want to be a righteous person. You want to be a person that does good. You want a person that peoples respect you and they trust you. See, we got people that will look at this thing. I got. and applied in a sense is that they accuse an individual or a person that everything in reference to everything they say is accused an individual of not doing this, or doing this. That's the way the devil works. So we in a world. We in a world that for some reason. This act like they're trying to keep Satan alive. Allah said, O ye who believe, the law of equality is prescribed to you. In case of murder, the free for the free. The slave for the slave. The woman for the woman. But if any remission is made by the brother of the slain, then grant any reasonable demand and compensate him with handsome gratitude. This is a concession and a mercy from your Lord. This is practicing righteousness. This is practicing something that's going to make you God-fearing. This is practicing something that a person would say, that's a Muslim. That he love his brother. He want for his brother what he want for himself. Allah said, after this, whoever exceeds the limits shall be in grave penalty. In the law of equality, it's saving of life to you, all you means of understanding, that you may restrain yourself. It is prescribed when death approaches the end of you, if he leaves any good, that he make a bequest to parents, and next of kin, according to reasonable usage. This is due from the God-fearing. If anyone change the bequest after hearing it, the guilt should be on those who make the change. The law hears and knows all things. But if anyone fears partiality or wrongdoing on the part of the testator and make peace between the parties concerned that there's no wrong in him. But law is often law is often forgiven and most merciful. So the law for thee, sure the law speaks the mighty truth. So we got the Quran. We got the prophets that we can study. We in a world that you can apply this and you can practice this. We got all the opposition that you can want. We got the people practicing the work of Satan. And they got it right. They got that free will. They got that free will where they can love Satan. You know. Like the brother say, you let them know, you be your way, I be mine. Allah says there is no compulsion in religion. So truth stand out clear from falsehood. So you can use that free will the way that you want to use it. In other words, you make all the last decisions. Whatever last decision that you make, you know, you the one that makes it. And you're going to be held accountable for it. Praise be to Allah. Brothers and sisters, we are working hard establishing the right to have reparation. We're working hard on that. But I see that the devil is working hard also. They not only lining things up, but they are going through the motion. They're actually killing people. They are trying to make you believe what they are saying. They're trying to convince everybody. But like I said, brothers and sisters, we make the last decision. They got on the news, Biden. First of all, there was a hospital that a missile was dropped on that hospital, and it killed a whole lot of people. I think up to 500 people, children and everything. And Israel is saying that Hamas dropped it on their own peoples. Hamas dropped it on their own peoples. Said that they made a mistake and dropped a missile and killed their own peoples. This is what Israel is saying. This is the argument. And Hamas is saying that Israel attacked Gaza. Now you remember, right now, if you look at television, the leaders there said that they was going to destroy. They were going to destroy the Gaza Strip because of the missile that was dropped on the first thing, the first attack that was done. They say that the Hamas did it, and I think that they was the Israelis. They was partying. They was having a good time. I don't know whether or not it was a wedding or whatever it was, but this what brought everything into the news when this happened. Talking about is how all this stuff got started. All of it didn't get started because somebody dropped a bomb on the hospital. It didn't get started that way. It got started when they claimed that Hamas dropped a bomb, a missile, on the Israelites. When they were out there socializing and having a good time, but they dropped a bomb on them. They dropped a missile on them. And they killed a whole lot of people. And Israel said that they was gonna pay Hamas them back. That they wasn't gonna get away with that. It was later on that this year missiles that blew up the hospital came about. You see, it was later on. It was almost a week, maybe 2 weeks later that a missile was dropped on there in Gaza Strip. And they were saying that they were going to make Gaza Strip a place that was unusual. I mean, you can't use it no more. You can't use it no more. They're going to destroy everything there. Plus, they say that they were going to kill people. That's right. If you go back and look at some of the news, they was threatening the Hamas. So later on, you got this here missile that was dropped on the hospital. Now the atrocity was so bad. You know, that Israel had to get on television and say that they didn't have nothing to do with that. That was Hamas. Misfired a rocket and the rocket hit the hospital. This is what they're saying, brothers and sisters. You got to listen to what they're talking about and what's going on. So they blaming Hamas for the killing that was done to the people there in the hospital. I remember when they was interviewing some Jews. They was interviewing them, and the people was talking about how. The interviewer was talking about how the people's going to look at this. because there were so many young people that was killed. And I remember when the whole conversation changed, where they was now pointing the finger at Hamas, saying that Israel said, I didn't do that. It was Hamas. So now they blaming it. They blaming both the bombings. The all-out war came from the first bombing or the first missile that was dropped. That's where the war came. Supposedly, that's what they told us. That's what they explained to us. Why they was attacking Hamas. Now they was attacking. They had attacked it. Some different areas. They were showing how they was knocking down the building and how they was bombing people. The people were running, and they was getting killed. Then later on, this here hospital got attacked. Later on, this hospital had a missile that hit it, and it killed over 500 people. And the people that was interviewing the Jews, you know, because they got the whole television, they call themselves showing the world what they doing to Hamas, and then someone dropped something on the hospital. And the people that was doing the interviews was talking about how terrible that was, how that looked. So they changed it from them attacking Hamas and said, Hamas is the one that dropped that bomb. Hamas is the one that shot that missile. So brothers and sisters, this thing here is serious. We got to look at it, and we got to figure out what's going on. They telling us a whole lot of things going on, but somebody lying. And like I said, the only thing that'll clear up the only way that you can clear up a lie or a truth can be proven. You can prove the truth, but you can't prove a lie. You got to tell another lie. You got to keep on lying. So, brothers and sisters, we pray that we be firm and patient and go through this. And I pray that Allah is with the true believer, let's pray for our brothers and sisters, and we ask Allah forgive us for our sin, and help those people that is suffering. And the children and the older peoples, you know, Hamas said. I mean, the Israel said that they gonna cut off all the water and cut off all the food, you know. But just dropping it on the hospital and change the whole situation. So we came to you in peace. We gonna leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you, brother.
Alhamdulillah.
then we got Brother Rakeed up. Hey, Rakeed.
Assalamu alaikum.
What ain't my salam?
It's beautiful when you explain what's going on in details.
Alhamdulillah.
Giving us more clarity, alhamdulillah. I wanted to comment something what you said about the ayat in Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct us to, you find two people at war, two people not agreeing upon each other, or two people not knowing what's going on, and to bring peace between the brotherhood or the sisterhood. We have things like that in our ummah, very little things. That disturbs our minds and people's minds, and also disturb the ummah. But one of the gifts that Allah gives, and you know, different people got their different interpretations, and this is me saying it straight up and not allegorical. When Allah says he purifies him, you know, the one who put his life on the line to bring peace to two people, Allah purifies that person. It's like that brother going to Hajj. Allah take all the sins away from that person. These are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And can nobody upon this earth give us a gift of purity but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I had one commentary on that. I openly bear witness in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorifies He, all praise be to Him. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah misguides, none can guide. The power is always to Allah. Praises are always due to Allah. We follow the best of His examples, the best of His prophets. We follow what He tells us to follow. This is freedom. This is freedom. Freedom is not doing what you want to do. But freedom is acknowledging its submission. To be able to do what the maker of that of our will given to the submission tell us to do. That's freedom. And what we find in freedom, we find some of the best human beings. The best human beings. You find someone outside of the faith and our Christian brotherhood, you find them, you find the one who adapts and follow the worship of the Ten Commandments. You find some of the best people in the world, some of the best. You find the people that do more than the Ten Commandments are some of the greatest men and women in the world. And that's the same for the Quran. The Quran builds us up to oppose any situation, any type of form of life problems. The Quran speaks on every system of life, not just in America, dear brothers and sisters, but throughout the world. Throughout the world, it's a solution. It's a solution from a small problem. It's a solution to a big problem. It's a solution from a state problem, a county problem, to a country problem. It solidified, it gives that problem the solution to those who believe or to those who read and have understanding. Allah guides them as well. We know the guidance, some of the first guidance came from Adam. And Adam's children utilized, including us, his father's mistakes to utilize their right doing. The intellect was being built. And it had been built until prophet Noah. There was messengers before the prophets. And their message was to the communities or to the Ummah that Allah is one. He was teaching his people, including Adam, was teaching his people freedom. Same type of freedom the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching. Same type of freedom Harriet Tubman was teaching. Marcus Garvey, Iman Worth Dean Muhammad, radiallahu anhu. And may Allah elevate those brothers and sisters in the highest of paradise. Forgive their sins and elevate them in the highest of paradise. But it was teaching the mind, not their mind, but the mind and the intelligence of the mind that Allah had gave to them. They were teaching freedom. They didn't understand it. For 950 years, they didn't understand this type of mind. They said, well, we free. We can do whatever we want to do. We ain't got to believe in your Allah. We ain't got to believe in what you're talking about. That's your free decision and your free choice. That's the free will, your choice. They carried it on and carried it on and carried it on and carried it on until it got to Isa, alayhi salam. And if we look at the story of Isa, and if our brothers and sisters and our Christian brothers and sisters understand the story of Isa, that his parents, he came from a heritage of messengers and prophets, a heritage of messages and prophets. But if we understand his mind, that Allah gave to him the freedom of his mind to assist and to help the Israelites. He was sent to the Israelites. He wasn't sent to the rest of the world. He wasn't sent to around Africa. He was sent to one part. So were the others. They were sent for one part, and you do history correct, a lot of our prophets came from Africa, a lot of them. And that is a country, in Palestine is a part of Africa. That is a country that they purposely, the Yahudis, the ones that didn't believe in Isa as the prophet of Allah, the son of Maryam, they purposely go to Africa and take all the resources out of the land. Not only do they take the resources, they got bold enough to take us and bring us to America and enslave us. This is the same slavery, but a worse slavery form of the people of Pharaoh. The people of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's mind was so corrupted, confused, diluted with delusions, and he was a stern follower of Shaitan. But Allah had mercy on Pharaoh. What was his mercy? His mercy was send him a messenger, send him a prophet with Allah's messenger. Why? Because the help of Allah came to the people. It didn't come how the people wanted it to come at first, no. But it came the way Allah had planned. So Moses was introducing Pharaoh to his natural state of mind, without the superior and inferior mentality towards himself and his people. And so the Isa, alayhi salam, as you know, as Christ, or some call him Yahweh. All right. He has different names. In Arabic, his name is Isa. But he introduced the people to this mind. This is freedom. This is freedom. But he sent them only to a certain group of people. He sent them to the Israelites. Now, they turned their back on the prophet, alayhi salam. They turned his back. As Allah sent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Isa with signs to the people to establish them with faith. He said, he brought the dead back to life by Allah's leave. He healed the sick by Allah's leave. He cured the blind. Healed the blind by Allah's leave. Yes. He did all of this to cultivate the people's attention so that they could come and unify themselves into the mind that Allah wanted them to become. Not themselves. But this was a mercy, again, on those people. But it wasn't sent around the world. So Allah, out of the faith of the people of previous generations, the spirituality ones, the one who know that the human race was not Almighty God or nothing upon earth had anything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the believers, the ones who kept their faith firm and steadfast, Allah sent them another prophet. Then not only did he send them another prophet, he didn't put this prophet just in the Quran, the final revelation. No, he put this prophet in their revelation to the thinkers, to the ones who wanted and want the same thing as they wanted for their people. Allah put it in their minds so that they can understand the power of Allah, so they can understand the power of Allah. They didn't have to submit. They didn't have, a lot of them know this knowledge. A lot of them, they will not submit. They hold their own self. They sell their own souls. They hold their own mentality or their own minds from the mind that Allah gave to them, to the thinkers. Our minds are not ours. We ain't designed these minds. We didn't produce these minds. We didn't grow these minds. Allah did. And they can trick themselves day and night. But Allah sent the messenger, the prophet, Rasulullah, messenger and the prophet, the last of them, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he sent him all around the globe, around the planet. And he told us in our book, in the last kitab, in the last final revelation, he tell us to so that we can have the same faith and the same miracles as our previous brothers and sisters got to encourage them in faith. He said he is a mercy to all the worlds. He's a mercy for you, and the one who wants his mercy. He said, follow him. This is a miracle Allah gave to the believers to increase their faith, to increase our faith. In the Battle of Uhud, Allah sent the believers 3,000 angels. He sent them 3,000 angels. And he tell you why he sent them. He said he sent them to give them courage, to give them faith. He could have sent them human beings and jinns to fight. And you think about this. Think about this. Can't nobody kill no angel but Allah. Can no human being or jinn kill an angel? Allah is the command. Allah didn't send them humans and jinns. He sent them angels to strengthen them in faith. In faith. It's a hadith, and I'm still searching on it. And the hadith say that it will be a group of people from the Hamas. This is what Rasulullah said 1,400 years ago. He said, it'd be a group of people from the Hamas master that will fight the disbelievers until the day of Yom Kiyama, until the day of judgment. And Allah will grant them victory. He will grant them aid, and he will grant them victory. This is something that Allah established to the Rasulullah to give to us, to strengthen us, to strengthen the believers. I was in the community cafe, and Sister Jamila, Siraj Wahai's wife, at the Atlanta Masjid. She buys our chicken sausage, some of the best chicken sausages in the world. She got a good Sunday breakfast, and Brother Akbar, he texted me the pictures. And I told him why he's teasing me. And the food looks so good, I started to eat it from the phone. I went to the masjid on, I think it was Friday. It was the Sisters United. It was Sunday. The Sisters United was having something for the community, a health fair to help the community out. They do a very excellent job, and may Allah reward them sisters. And if you see the work behind the work, them some hardworking sisters. And I had something caught my mind, and I left my keys in the car, locked my keys in the car, car room. And first thing I do, I see one of the brothers, and I see brother, I can't remember his name, but he gave me Brother Khalid's number with the tow truck. And he said, I'm an hour and a half away, but I'll come. And I said, well, how much you going to charge me? He said, I normally charge $130. I said, $130? I said, I'll call you. So another brother that got the car wash across the street, Muslim car wash, do very good detailing work, very excellent work. He comes. He said, man, I know a brother. He said, here, come. I said, well, call him. Tell him to come. So I meet Brother Harold. He's an excellent painter. He's a real good painter, good brother, good character. And we go in there, and I asked him, he was going in the masjid to pray. And I asked him, did he want a cup of hot cocoa? He likes hot chocolate. And myself, I like coffee. So he said, yeah. And I go to the community cafe and put my order in, a cup of hot chocolate. And myself, I like coffee. And so we sitting there talking. And for some strange reason, it was a brother standing in front of me. Me and Brother Harold. A brother standing in front of me, and it was some ladies. I think it was on the other side of us. I can't really exactly remember. But I said, is there anybody, me and Brother Hal talking, and I told him to hold up for a second, and I said, is there anybody in here that got a lockout kit? And do you know, the man that was in line standing right in front of me had the lockout kit. He said, I do. So I'm really like, he bluffing me. But he said, I do. He said, where'd you park at? I'm still stuck. So I said, my car's over there. He said, I'll meet you over there. Brother Harold said, that was Allah giving you the spirit to ask him. What Allah did was increase my faith. And the brother came in and unlocked the car. I'm saying this because Allah operates different to the believers than he do the disbelievers. Allah tells us he's going to test us. Water, food. He's going to test us. Why? Husbands, children, materialistic, wealth. He said he's going to test him with everything in his creation. But he's going to test you to see, do you really serve me? Do you really worship me? Do you really want me in your life? Do you really want to use your freedom, your will, to do as I instruct you to do so that I can build who you are? We go to sajda and we stand back up. We go to sajda, we prostrate ourselves just like Christ, just like Yahweh, like Moses, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, just like every righteous human being. Just like the birds and the trees, everything our Lord makes submits to him. And he allows us to come back up. That's freedom. Freedom is not doing what you want to do. That's not freedom. That's chaos. And you can get caught in some real chaos by doing what you want to do. But the idea that Allah give you in your minds and your mentality of your mind is you need to wake up, sister, brother. Because it's not about what you want to do. It's about what I want you to do. Because the earth is Allah's. The dirt is Allah's. The hereafter, the akhirah, Allah on it. And Jannah, paradise, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you say, how do you get there? To the intellectual of us, Christian, Jews, and Muslims are the ones who believe, are the people of the book. They read because they know when we look at freedom, we hear the word dome. It ain't talking about the dome on the masjid in Gaza. It ain't talking about the dome in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Capitol. No, it's talking about the dome on your head. And doing what you want to do, you become dumb. But doing what Allah instructs you to do, you become free. You become a bohemian thinker. A bohemian person, a free spirit person. Why would not Allah aid you? Why would not Allah help you? It could be a death, could be interest into paradise. It could be a death of a model. It could be a death Allah highly honors. Highly honors. Not just Allah highly honors, the believers highly honor. So, my dear brothers and sisters, keep the faith. And don't let Satan take your spirit for any ignorance that he got going on. Stay focused. Stay on your prayers and encourage who the people you are around. Encourage them. Encourage them as your life depends on it. Allah say, exalt. When you running, you exalted your energy. When women, the men leave and the women in the house, and they cooking and they cleaning, and they paying dinner, they washing clothes, they telling their husbands good encouragement, they exhausting themselves. When the men out here working, we exalting ourselves. But Allah said, exalt your believer, exalt your brothers and sisters into righteousness. If you got to tell a man 1,000 times, bro, you got to do right. What up? Tell him. He'll cuss you out. He ain't going to like it. Let's stop smoking dope, bro. Quit drinking a little bit. Just water up. Come on to the masjid. Tell him some words that are going to encourage him to become who he already is, somebody. But Shaitan has tricked our people, especially us as African-American people, to the point where we feel as we is nobodies to the world without what the world have produced for us to get or have, the materialistic of life itself. And that's a problem. So Allah says, exalt your brothers and sisters in righteousness. And we are the group of people Allah talks about in Quran. He said, exalt us. We forbid what is wrong. We forbid it. So much even if it's within ourselves. And we encourage what is right. Allah said also, he said there's going to be a group of people who are going to work together in righteousness. When George Floyd was killed on international television, everybody, the whole world, the whole planet, dear brothers and sisters, was waking up for justice. The whole world. The war that's going on now, the whole world is waking up and standing up for justice. And these ain't even Muslims. A lot of them not Muslims. A lot of them are Christian Jews. A lot of them are atheists. A lot of them are whatever they is. They are. That's between them and Allah. But they standing up for moral code of honor for their Lord. For their Lord. And they standing up for Muslims. The world. If that's not a miracle by Allah, I don't know what is. There was a time of the world where Muslims were hated because of not the religion itself, but because of false. Huh?
1 minute.
Because of false news. So the world was hated upon us. But look at it now. Allah is guiding people to Islam. And if you don't think for a second, dear brothers and sisters, that Allah will guide our people throughout the world to Islam, then you got another problem on your hand for not trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep your faith and keep your spirit high. And don't get caught in that moment of shayateen, the shaitan. You know when he got you dozing off? When you ain't getting right yourself? When you say it's okay to do this? And it take a stronger man not to do something that you want. It take a stronger woman not to do something that you don't want to do. And you in order for you to exalt me, you have to exalt yourself to the point where you think you crazy. They say, Allah said in the Quran that they thought the Prophet Muhammad was a madman. He wasn't. That's how much he loved Allah. Imam Bashekif, he said, in one of his cookbooks, I remember, he said, you crazy over women. You crazy over your children. You crazy over money. He said, be crazy over Allah. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you.
That's the name. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless us all. I'll bring up Sister Lala if she don't mind. Aje Lala. Aje Lala.
Alhamdulillah. Walaikum salam.
Okay. Hold one second, Sister Lala. Brother, I mean, you said something? Somebody, I mean, okay, Sister Lala, you got it.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Okay,
let's see, Sister Lala. Now, I hope you wake up feeling exceptional. You are important, needed, and unique. I mean. Never lose hope and trust in the power of Dua. Allah will grant you everything you want as long as it's good for you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
May Allah bless you all with the very best in this life and the next. May every one of your sins be forgiven. May Allah elevate your rank and admit you into gardens where rivers flow and the angels greet you with glad tidings for eternity. Amen, amen, amen. It's okay. Here's another one. A cup of very hot hello, a plate of nice crispy wishes, a spoon of sweet smile, a pinch of caring hugs, and a slice of well-deserved success. I hope this breakfast makes your day extra special. Amen, amen, amen. From the Silai Rock Reality. Okay.
Amen, amen.
Yes. Okay, I have another. Happy Wednesday. The Lord bless you with new mercy every morning, grace every day, new hope for every trial, and courage all the way. Have a lovely day. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, this is a duwa. It says, O Allah, shower your mercy upon Muhammad, the prophet, and upon his family, and grant them the best of peace. Abu Huraira, peace and blessings on him, reports that the holy prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, the person who recites the above dua 80 times after Asr Salat on Friday before standing. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, come on. Come back. Come back. Okay, here it is. Oh, sure. Let's see. Okay, wait a minute. 80 standing up from his place. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive 80 years of his sins and grant him the reward equivalent to 80 years. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
So I go on. Dear Allah, thank you for waking me up this morning to experience your everlasting love, never-ending mercy, and for my blessed day ahead. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And I have this one here. Amazing. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. None has the right to be worshipped except you. You created me, and I am your servant, and I abide to your covenant and promise as best I can. I take refuge in you from the evil of which I have committed. I acknowledge your favor upon me, and I acknowledge my sin. So forgive me, for verily none can forgive sin except you. Whoever recites this with conviction in the evening and dies during that night shall enter paradise. And whoever recites it with conviction in the morning and dies during that day shall enter paradise. Sahih Bukhari 6306. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
As-salamu alaykum, Haji Daya, please send me Brother Hameen's number. I have the information for him. Alhamdulillah. And remember Allah. And Allah remember you. Thank y'all much.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. With the last name.
One time, Lord, back.
not flat.
Oh, I thought I was sad. Aouzu lehi min ashaitan rajim, with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, the master of this day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Which is gracious. We of those whom thou hast bestowed thy mercy and grace, not of those whom thy wrath has brought down, now those who go astray, I mean.
Amen.
As-salamu alaykum.
Well, look at them. Thank you, everybody, for coming. May Allah bless us all. And then we're going to keep do because I mean, got anything he wants to say. Just, but I mean, as-salamu alaykum, but I mean. As-salamu alaykum. I don't think he want to say nothing. He didn't say nothing. But thank you, everybody, for coming. We'll be back tomorrow. Bring a friend. Bring a relative. Please come back. Let us continue to work on this evilness that this world has put in it. And let's try to get it out with the help of Allah. Thank you, everybody. You did a great job. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.